I think really of all the young people we've got listed on our study programme, some of whom are older than others, really Joash is the one who's the youngest of them all, at least when we start hearing about him in the record. So I think this one will definitely be one which should interest all the Sunday school scholars among us, and hopefully those of us who are a bit older as well. So we're now going to ask Brother Robert to come and give us his remarks on the subject, Joash, and I'll ask you to all give your attention to him.
Welcome. Good morning to you all. I hope your children are alert to what's going to be spoken about today, because it's a bit of an interactive part as well, so you'll have to stay awake for that one. Okay, begin with that. Jesus once said in Matthew, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." He also said, "Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." How these words ring true in the age of the kings of Israel and Judah. Though these words are spoken a long time after the kings, they're still very important to the servants of God. Today we shall look at the influences which affected Joash's life, both in his infancy, during his early life as a young lad, who came to the throne of Judah when he was 7 years old, his growing up into adult life. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I found this verse difficult to understand. In what way is it said, "He will never depart from it"? It's obviously, it's the child's influence at an early stage. Good or bad? Train up that child in the way he should go. If it's a bad influence, when he is old, he will never depart from it. If it's a good influence, it works the same way. So we're going to gain an idea of the background Joash's life. We're going to see the society that he lived in. And you'll find parallels to today's society. The main characters we are going to consider start with Jehoshaphat. The reigns of the kings of Israel and Judah. Here's a little chart. I colored the ones in yellow simply because that is the time around the age and the birth of Joash. We see that the king of Israel was Ahab and his reign. He had a son, Ahaziah. Well, actually, he had two sons. And there seems to be, because of this intermarriage between the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, they borrowed the same names. So it's quite confusing going through the Kings and Chronicles trying to pick these out. So if I got that wrong, by all means tell me. But as I say, Ahab, he had a son, Ahaziah. Ahaziah had a son, Joram, or in the other sense, Jehoram. He also had a son, Jehu. But having looked at it again, actually Jehu, because of the differences between the two records, Jehu is actually the son of Jehoshaphat, a younger son than Jehoram. Jehoram was the prince regent, you could say. So I definitely got that chart wrong. Anyway, the reign of Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, was a very good reign. He, like his father, did everything right and pleasing to Yahweh. He had a son, Jehoram. He had a son, Ahaziah. Ahaziah married Athaliah. Rather, Joram married Athaliah. Ahaziah was her son. And, well, we can see that Joash was of Ahaziah. Anyway, the next chart might explain it. Jehoshaphat. These are the ones that I am really going to concentrate on to give you just a feel of what surrounded Joash's life. In 1 Chronicles 21 and 2 Kings 8:16, the chief cause of all the problems of the kings was idolatry. That was the root cause of the trouble that befell them. So first we need to examine why and who was responsible. We're going to deal with Ahab first. In 1 Kings 16 verse 29, it says that Ahab became king of Israel in the 38th year of the reign of Asa, king of Judah. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. In verse 30, we learn what Ahab was really like. It says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of Yahweh above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke Yahweh Elohim of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." It's an interesting word, Baal. It's almost like sheep. Baal. Baal. And that's what Ahab was, a sheep. Baal. He was a worshipper of Baal. And he angered God more than any of the kings before him. And worse was to come when Ahab tried to take a vineyard from Naboth the Jezreelite. Now Naboth's vineyard was right next to the palace. So Ahab thought, well, that'll be a nice addition to my property. I could turn it into a garden of herbs. Very materialistic. Ahab went to see Naboth and asked him, "Give me your vineyard." He even tried to bribe him with a better one, probably miles away. But Naboth refused because it was his inheritance. Ahab returned to his palace in anger. He wouldn't speak to anyone. He You wouldn't even eat. Typical of a spoilt child. When Jezebel, his wife, heard this, what did she do? In 1 Kings 21, we have the account. We are told that Jezebel wrote letters in the king's name. She sent them to the chief men in the city where Naboth lived. The letters gave instructions to proclaim a fast. Proclaiming a fast means everyone attended. Now, among the guests were two men who were instructed to accuse Naboth of blasphemy against God and the king. Once the deed was done, they carried Naboth out of the city and stoned him to death. And that's how Ahab got that vineyard. As you can imagine, God was angry. He sent the prophet Elijah to Ahab to tell him that God said that in time he would take away all his possessions, the kingdom, and destroy him and his family. Of Jezebel, God said, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the walls of Jezreel. And we know that Ahab died in battle. And what about Jezebel? Jehu had a hand in this. She died after being thrown out of a palace window by her servants. And after the wild dogs had got her, all they could find of her was a skull, her hands and her feet. Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, as I say, a very good king. Indeed, this king was a leading example. He became king of Judah following the death of Asa, his father. And like Asa, his father, he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh. Jehoshaphat was totally different to Ahab. Why? Because he believed in God and did things that pleased God. Skip that. Did I miss it? There you go. Jehoshaphat, his reign. His son reigned in his stead. He strengthened himself. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah. Why? He set garrisons in the land of Judah. Why? In the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And Yahweh was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. And sought not unto Balaam, but sought to Yahweh Elohim of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Talk about separation. This is a leading light, a leading example of how to walk in the truth. Therefore, Yahweh established his kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of Yahweh, not the other way. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and Obadiah, and to Zechariah and to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. Again, it's a learning curve. It's a learning center. Judah became a learning center. He sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zebediah, and Asahel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobiah, and Tobadoniah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of Yahweh. with them, and went about all throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of Yahweh fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war with against Jehoshaphat. Why? Because Yahweh was with him. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks. What did Jehoshaphat have more than any of the other kings? Yahweh was with him, because he walked in his ways. He pleased him in everything he did. He gained respect, even from the nations around him. Even from his enemies, the Philistines were always at war. He gained respect. He set that good example of walking in the truth. What I found interesting was, they had the book of the law always with them. Imagine, children, you were carrying your Bibles everywhere you go. The law of Christ is in your hand. That's what they did. With your Bible in hand, wherever you go, you're ready to teach. Even little ones set good examples. Our students set good examples, having their Bibles in their hands at all times. If a little child comes up, why are you carrying your Bible? It's a point of discussion. And in even their simplest understanding, they can teach. This is why Jehoshaphat was that leading example. Proverbs 22. Apply thine heart unto the instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion, that is carefulness, shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. I find Jehoshaphat a confident king. And that confidence came from God. And his learning. Obviously, he had a great upbringing from Asa, his father, who followed everything that Jehoshaphat was learning. But even then, sometimes good kings make bad decisions that can have dire consequences. He became friendly with Ahab. Ahab appealed to him, "Oh, the Syrians are back here again. They're trying to invade Israel. Will you come down and help me?" And he got friendly. He made a bad decision. And we shall soon see why. It is clear what we must do at every given stage of our life. We must study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why, with all this knowledge that Joshua had, he made this decision? What happened? He agreed with Ahab. "Yes, I'll come with you and fight Hazael, the king of Syria." And Ahab made a suggestion. "Well, let's cement the relationship. Your son married my daughter." What a terrible decision. And it had its consequences. I explained that Ahab died shortly afterwards. When they went into battle, Ahab said, "I tell you what, let's swap clothes. I'll become the king of Judah and you become the king of Israel." So they went into battle. But Hazael the Syrian wasn't any fool. Because when he saw Jehoshaphat, he recognized him. So how did Ahab die? At a venture. Just pure chance. Somebody drew a bow. And that arrow found its way between the joins in the armour. Which shows armour that man puts up is no defence against God. It found it between the harness of the armour and it injured him. He escaped, but he went back to Jezreel and died. And the wild dogs, he died in his chariot. The wild dogs licked his blood. All as part of the prophecy for his wickedness. Jehoram, eldest son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Again, he was not like Jehoshaphat, not by any means. Jehoram, marrying Athaliah, listened more to his wife. And I can tell you, Athaliah was as bad as her mother Jezebel. Both did evil in the sight of Yahweh, as did Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoram was so evil that he conspired against his own brothers, the princes of Judah, and he killed them. His own brothers, he killed them. But it is for this wicked deed he suffered the consequence of his actions. God brought the Arabians into Judah. They spoiled the king's house, carrying away Jehoram's sons, except for the youngest son, named Ahaziah. Obviously, Jehoram and Athaliah had many sons and daughters. Ahaziah was the only one that was spared. But what of the daughters? Well, there was an eldest daughter, Jehosheba, or there's another account, Jehoshabeath. Why, with parents that they have, would there be one among them that didn't follow the way of Ahab or Jeroboam, the son of Nebat? With all the evil that surrounded her, what did she do? She married Jehoiada the priest and immediately had a good influence in her life. Jehoram was killed by Jehu. Ahaziah became the new king of Judah. But he relied on who for advice? Athaliah. Again, bad advice. He is a saying, rubbish in, rubbish out. And that's very true. He also did evil in the sight of Yahweh and did not walk in God's ways. He had many wives, one who was Zibiah of Bathsheba. Zibiah was the mother of Joash. And for Uzziah's wickedness, God's anger eventually brought about his destruction. He too was destroyed by Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat. Jehu, I would say, is the youngest son of Jehoshaphat. He was anointed by Elisha the prophet, who was following God's instructions. God made him king over Israel at the time when Joram the son of Ahab reigned as king, who only reigned for a short time. I think it was like 1 year. In a battle with Hazael of Damascus, the king of Assyria, he was wounded, and he returned to Jezreel to heal his wounds. Jehu was also there when Queen Jezebel died. He was the one who gave instructions to the servants to throw him out the window. Later, Joram, the king of Israel, made peace with Ahaziah, the king of Judah, and Jehu came to meet them. Jehu killed Joram with an arrow when he tried to flee. When the king of Judah tried to flee, Jehu and kill him too. And here's the ironic part. Jehu arranged for him to be buried in the vineyard that belonged to Naboth. Indeed, Jehu was indeed God's servant who obeyed God's commandments. He rid Israel of the wickedness of its kings. He destroyed the house of Ahab. He also slew Ahaziah's brethren. He also rid Israel of idolatry. So God's prophecy came true for the house of Ahab and Jezebel. Athaliah, as we said, she was as bad as her mother ever was. She had some influence over the kings. She had the same desire for power. She had the same idolatrous practices as Jezebel. And when Athaliah saw her son Uzziah was dead, she, like her husband Jehoram, began killing all the royal children, even her grandchildren. Why? She was evil. She was greedy. She wanted to be the queen of Judah. And she did. She reigned as queen for 6 years. But unknown to her, Joash, her baby grandson, and his nursemaid was rescued by the eldest daughter of Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. They kept the baby and the nursemaid safe inside a bedchamber in the temple for 6 years. Now, this would have an early effect on Joash. What a difference Jehoshaphat was to her mother, Athaliah, and even her brother, Uzziah. There's no doubt she was influenced by the truth. Jehoiada the priest, her husband. But there was also another influential character in her life. Ahaziah, her brother, had married Zibiah of Beersheba, a province in Judah. It's probable that Zibiah too was influenced by the law of Moses. There's an indication that she personally appointed a nursemaid that protected baby Joash from the hands of Athaliah. And in doing so, she must have recognized that this nursemaid was a devoted and faithful servant of God, sincere and loving. And for this, she too was protected. Remember the nursemaid of Moses? Who was the nursemaid of Moses? Abigail, do you know? Moses' mother. Jehoiada the priest. He had a great influence on Joash, especially at the time of Athaliah's taking over the throne. He took an active part, along with his wife, in the preservation and training of Joash when Athaliah slew all the royal family of Judah. The plans he adopted in replacing Joash on the throne of his ancestors are described in 2 Kings 11. So turn there with me. Time is quickly going by, so we'll have to shift. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. He was with her, hid in the house of Yahweh 6 years, and Athaliah did reign. The 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him in the house of Yahweh, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of Yahweh, and showed them the king's son. What a shock they must have been. They must have thought, all of them are dead. We're going to be under Athaliah's reign forever. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. And it went about, Joash removed Jehoiada removed Athaliah from the throne. As I say, Jehoiada, a type of Christ in that sense, he removed this evil woman and placed Joash, the rightful heir to the throne. He also played, Jehoiada played a part in the restoration of the temple buildings. We look at the next chapter, chapter 12. In the 7th year of Jehu, Joash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh. Brother Gary's talk on Samuel, he mentioned all the days of his life, not here, only 40 years. Probably less than that. All the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Limited. Jehoiada the priest was an absolute great teacher. Joash's upbringing was full of knowledge of the truth. I find it difficult, having come out of the world and been baptized into Christ, I can never understand anybody leaving it. I find that difficulty. It is so precious. It's changed my life completely. And it does to the children. When they make the decision to be baptized into Christ, they've already grown up into it. They understand what's there. And to make that choice, it reaches you. You understand the things out there are not worth a damn. The things in the truth makes you different. You're that new person in Christ. And I can never understand anyone wanting to leave that. It's like having a hoard of treasure and just giving it away. It doesn't make sense. There's no logic. So when Joash, in his adult life, does quite the opposite to the instruction that Jehoiada gave him, I find it very difficult to understand the reasoning. Jehoiada was a high priest, and he loved his work, and he loved teaching the children, teaching the people, all about God. Like him, like us, with his Bible in hand, the law of Yahweh was in his hand continually. Wherever he went, it was in his hand. And anyone who would inquire about why he's carrying it, it was there ready to read. Teaching them. Teaching them the word of Yahweh. How important. It was his whole life dedicated to Yahweh. And this he instructed Joash. Joash had this zeal for Yahweh. It was recognized by Yahweh that he did right. But all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Joash, well, we know what damage that Athaliah did to the temple of God. Right, what did he do? He said about reforms. Yes, he said, right, what happened to all the money that goes to the priests and all the offerings? Oh, we haven't bothered with that for a while. What? He read in the law, well, this is not right. Something must be done about this. So what did he do? Right, make a chest. All the money can go in the chest. Jehoiada actually made an invention that we hear today use regularly. Can anybody guess what that is? Do you know? Do you know? Pardon? No. He made a chest and put a hole in the top of the box. Can you think what we use today that's similar to that? I got one in the house. I got several in the house. And I put my money in it. A money box. A money bank. Quite right. Jehoiada made a great invention here. He created a chest with a hole in the top to put money in. I do that. I don't know if you do. Do you do it? No, you haven't got a money bank. Have you? Have you got a piggy bank? Yes. So you've got one. Just think, Jehoiada the priest invented that. Yes. All the money went into that. And what happened when they checked? Oh, it's full. What are we going to do with this money? He gave it to the workmen to go and repair the house of God. See, everything that Jehoiada did was around him. But Joash was learning this. He was growing up in the truth. 7 years he was, as start as a king. And now he's starting to learn. He's learning. He's reading the law of Yahweh and he's saying, wow, this can't be right. This all Judah's got to change now. So, he starts with repairing the temple. He does all these reforms. Say, right, this is great. And now he's excited about the truth. Wow, this is marvelous. Jehoiada was one of the benefactors of the kingdom. And at his death, things started to change. What happened? What happened? Joash lost this familiar face. Everything that Joash did in his life was checked by the law of Yahweh, by Jehoiada the priest. Any decision that Joash made, it was confirmed or not confirmed, and he was channeled down a different road. Joash's name means Yah has given, and certainly Yahweh provided everything for Joash. He had a mother that looked after him well. He had a sister, or an aunt rather, that looked after him well. He had an uncle that guided him in the truth. How important is this to our children, brothers and sisters? How important is it to us? We are children of God as well. No matter what age is, we're still children. And we're ever learning. We read the Bible every day. We're ever learning. As you get older, some of it starts to go leaky vessels. But it's repetitive. We read the Bible every day. We need it so badly. There's so much evil out there. We don't want any of it in here. And the only way to do that is to fill a mind with this. And this box is a money box. But this is Joash's mind. All the things that happen in his life. Good. Evil. And I'm sure we've got a bit of time. Yes. Okay. Right, I'm going to... A bit of interactivity here now. I want the children to tell me whether these people were evil or not. Ahab. Was he good or was he evil? Would you like to put one of those in there? Or shall I? I'll do it and you tell me them. Evil. Into Joash's mind. Jehoshaphat, good or evil? Good. Good instruction. Jezebel, good or evil? Athaliah, good or evil? Evil. Ahaziah, good or evil? Ahaziah, evil. Not many good things going in there. Jehoiada, evil or good? Jehoiada the priest? What about Jehoram? Was he good or bad? Who was Joash's worst enemy? Anybody know? His worst enemy. Himself. Himself. That's where it was. Joash's was his worst enemy. He listened to bad advice after Jehoiada died. He lost all the good instruction that he had when he was a child. And he followed the way of wickedness. You saw how many evil tickets went in there. This is Joash's mind. Rubbish in, rubbish out. And that's how he happened. Indeed, he conspired. He put to death many people after that. And for that wickedness, especially the wickedness of killing Jehoiada's son Zechariah, who became the new high priest, he put him to death. He forgot all the good things that Jehoiada had done for him, and he put him to death. Again, James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it takes its hold, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What a terrible turnaround in Joash's life. It's true what the Bible says. It's not in man to direct his steps. But it is when he's guided by the truth, as it is in Jesus. A whole life must be centered on God. There's nothing out there that can match it in any way. Though men and women of God may indeed have a great influence in our life, all our thoughts, the things we speak, our daily walk, our faith, our love, it must all be first to the Creator. Remember, Joash did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Letting the word dwell richly. If your thoughts are negative, you're complaining all the time, you're thinking about your needs, you are not letting God's word dwell in you richly. God says, well, he's taken care of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll take care of the rest. Look at Jehoshaphat. The way he led his life, he sought Yahweh first. He had riches in abundance. Look at Solomon. Because he was full of the truth. He didn't need anything. Joash in his early life, he didn't need anything. He had everything. Because he did everything right in Yahweh's eyes. But only in the lifetime of Jehoiada. God says he's taking care of all the other things. Put God first. And whatsoever you do, do it in word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always giving thanks to God. You must put your head in the book. Read it. Write it down. Absorb it. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. When you walk in the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, doing the will of God, learning his word, proclaiming his word, and speaking his word, you become rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. But lastly, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.